Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
So it's been a couple of days, like 5 or 6 since the last check-in. So here we go. I had a chance to vent a little bit with a marketing agency. They're pivoting back to what they could do. At this point, though, like they're going to, if their main bread and butter is going to be the free client, I'd rather just go with someone that doesn't play in that space whatsoever. I'd rather find someone who's an expert in the premium priced model. So I'm working with a new agency, getting the ads and everything set up. And one huge benefit of working with an expert is able to fix stuff and find workarounds that you don't even know about. My ads account was disabled, and I tried a few things, open support tickets. But when I hopped on the call with their, not their sales guy, but like their main like GM for the business, we did a 45-minute onboarding. Here's how to set up the texting machine. Here's how to set up Slack. Here's how to set up Facebook. And here's how to set up the Google Drive for all the ads and copy and videos and pictures we'll be using. And so we got like everything done in like 30 minutes. And we spent the final 15 figuring out Facebook and getting things back into good standing. Long story short, I had like one way to get it done, and he had 3 or 4 backup plans. And lo and behold, a backup plan number 2 worked, but we had like a few others in place. And that's something that I could have tried to figure out. I could have Googled and YouTubed, but that's so much time that I generally don't have. I can figure out how to be a Facebook expert, but I don't have the time to do it well. And so that was something that was really intriguing just to realize paying for experts saves you time, but it also gets you a way higher quality result and way faster time too. You got it done in 5 minutes. It could have taken me a week, and that costs a week of my time, five minutes of his time. But now that's like 6 extra days of free time that we got back that I now can run a profitable ads campaign. And so not only do you cut your cost, but you spike your revenue and your profitability. So I'm learning that more and more really quickly. So that's up and good to go. We're meeting tomorrow, so I need to get some ads and copy and I have to get some stuff over to him. But then also, what else? I met with a talent sourcer, a talent recruiter for the gym space. I've been on the hiring side for jobs before, and I don't want to sort through 200 resumes, pick out my top 5, and then hire my 1. I'd rather pay a large chunk of money for that and have them go through all the lead work, doing interviews, screening, giving their industry expertise, because I'm a rookie when it comes to hiring fitness people, and having that extra layer of protection so I make a smart and compliant decision. That was another validation there. And then, so that was cool. The manager said like the studio was a little bit kind of vanilla, like suburbanite. And so she found a couple art pieces that really spruce up the studio. Like one of them is like a metal iron out thing that you hang on like a man cave, and it lights up in the background for like any color you want. But you can also get your gym name custom sculpted on it. And it was only like $100. And so it was really cool to see that initiative. And yeah, it's not going to boost revenue. It doesn't boost profitability, but it adds to that cultish vibe that people want to stay, they want to invite, they want to be engaged, they want to work out, they want to be part of something bigger than just sweating for 45 minutes. And so I thought that was really great. I really appreciate that initiative and seeing something in the studio that really can take us to the next level on that member experience side of things. What other interesting things? I've talked to a VA sourcer that maybe something that pans out, maybe not. I know I will need assistance to help me keep my mental space going. Even just silly stuff like paying the insurance payment, handling inventory, social media posts, member inquiries, billing issues. My managers are solid, but I want them focused 100% on in-person experiences. Admin stuff like credit card numbers, ordering shaker bottles, that can be done by anyone. And not to downplay that people need to be smart to do it, but a high school kid across the country could do it, and my manager in my studio does not have to do it the same way. And so I play with that. I don't know if I'll need a VA right now. I know I will need them to keep my life going, though. So that was really good. Trying to do anything else major. I've been putting in 13-hour days with a day job, and it's a lot. Working sessions and really trying to get things going and realizing it's a full plate. And right now it's end of October. I get a Christmas bonus. That's really sweet. And so if I can make it through January, land that Christmas bonus, that'll be a good chunk of change. And that will be enough for like the paycheck side of things, getting the business up and going, but then also getting closer to closing on the second location. We got a handshake agreement, no signed papers yet, but realizing it's helping me to have a timeline and a deadline of when the day job is done, when the studio transfers over, and to have a goal in mind instead of this is forever, pick a date, lock it in. If the date changes later on, at least lock it in now. And then one final fun thing too. I've gotten to know some of the members at the various studios, my studio, and to just realize my manager's style is really different than what other people have done. And mine is very loose, very hands-off. I trust probably way too much, and people will take advantage of it. But also, when you have a cohesive group like this, I want them to keep each other in check. So if they overspend, too aggressive on a sales close, or too weird in a workout, that they'll call each other out on it. When you're close, you have that safety of correction. And so some folks are reaching out like, hey, I'd love to get involved. Membership is expensive, or I'm not happy with my day job, so I want to work at the club. And just figuring out like, what can we do to help our members plug in more, be more viral, more engaged, more contributory, and to really like help the studio and help themselves. I want people to be better off working with me, whether it's a W-2 or as a solopreneur. I want people to be elevating their life after they've interacted with what I have. And so just keeping conversations like that open, not micromanaging, not controlling things, but kind of letting the club grow into its own Frankenstein thing that it is, because it's a great studio with great members, and to make sure like things are smooth, things are running. My vision is, how do we expand territory? How do we take over white space in the Twin Cities? And how are we going to partner with people down the road? And so if people like that, they'll want to join. If they're not a fan, they'll go somewhere else. And that's totally okay. But what's going to work for my schedule and my lifestyle, and what's effective in helping other people get what they want? If that system works, and there's lots of systems you can do, but if my system works for me and other people like it and want it, they will join in and they will have that same attitude and that priorities list. And so at first I was really engaged, trying to go every day, and I realized I'm burning myself out quickly. And so I'm going in once, maybe twice a week, and really giving people that freedom to run and to really, really, really own their role and to engage and be themselves and to not limit their opportunity. I had a chance to talk to the head of sales today. That was really great for the brand. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming down the pipes. I told him about this podcast and he's like, dude, like, this is awesome. Like, this is needed. Franchises need more people to leave their corporate jobs and own small businesses. As a society, we need more small biz owners. We need people to have that desire to have equity in their work, ownership in their future, an opportunity to grow and expand as big as you want to, or to limit yourself as much as you want to. And so that's part of the reason I'm doing this whole series, to show the ups and downs, the headaches, the stresses. I dreamt last night that I was falling behind at work and that I was a terrible boss. My employees wanted to leave me. My members wanted to quit. And so just learning how to battle the mental games. You have to be mentally thick-skinned. And I'm learning very quickly, like, no, this is a bad dream. This is a lie. This is not true. This is what's real. This is what I do know. Here's what is reality. Here's what I am doing. And here's the best that I can do on a day by day. We need more people to have that helmet on their brain and to protect it. Because right now people are taking in whatever they hear as truth. And truth is not relative. It will never be relative. And if you disagree with me, then that's my truth. So take it. Ha 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 ha. All that to say, I want to help my members and my managers own studios. Straight up, that's what I want them to do. If they want that ownership, if they want the rocket ride, the roller coaster flight, like, this is something I want to get more people into. This is a seller. This is just a catch up. This is probably the longest drought I've been. I think it's like 5 days since I last did one of these, but it's just been long hours. And so learning, what am I doing on the business? What am I doing on my day job? How am I staying present as a parent? Everything's got to get touched every day, and stuff is starting to fall through the cracks on the business. I haven't emailed back my accountant in 2 days, and and just figuring out what has to get done, what's urgent, what's high priority, what's time sensitive. And this is my venting, and I got to get thoughts on paper because it's not easy. It's not for everyone, but dang, it's for everyone if you can up level and you can, you're willing to grow way beyond your comfort zone. More people can do this sort of thing if they give it a shot. That's where we're at. That's where we're going. Let's go find some new work to get done and make sure bills get paid and everyone's making money together. It's rock and roll.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.